As you guys know, we're currently in the middle of a series of messages called Listen to the Music, where we're looking at the Psalms of the Old Testament, which are songs of praise that are helpful in revealing who God is to us. Now, when it comes to songs of praise or singing to God, I wasn't so big on the idea when I first was dipping my toes into the Christian faith. I wasn't much of a singer. I found it a little awkward. I found it strange that a bunch of people would get together in a room and sing to an invisible God. But the more time that I spent around other followers of Jesus, and the more time that I spent studying his word, the more that I realized that God is love, and that his love has impacted each and every one of our lives. When I got that, I couldn't help but sing in praise to God out of what he's done for me and my life. Now, the idea that God is love popularly comes from 1 John 4, where it literally says, God is love. But I'm hoping that after this morning, you'll see that the idea of God being love isn't just a New Testament idea. It was seen, recognized, and worshiped for hundreds of years prior to the writing of the New Testament. So with all that in mind, I'd like us to focus on Psalm 136. Because I feel that it really helps us to see God for who he really is and shows us his loving character, his love, and his acts of love throughout all time. Through this psalm, through my studying of God's word, and through my own life experiences and through the experiences of other people, I am convinced that God is love and his love never fails. I hope that if you don't agree with me on that this morning, that you will by the time I'm done speaking, because your view of God is so important to your spiritual life and your life as a whole. So that leads me to asking, what is your view of God this morning? When I say the word God, who or what comes to your mind? Does this view of God that you have go along with the Bible, or does it go against it? And the reason that I bring this up is because what we believe actually has the power to affect us spiritually, mentally, and even physically. Tim Jennings, who's a Christian psychologist, mentions in his book, The God-Shaped Brain, that so many times in medical history, people actually end up passing away not from actual illness or sickness, but from believing that they were sick. So he mentions in his book that in the 1970s, a man named Sam Schumann was diagnosed with liver cancer and told that he only had months to live. A few months after his death, the autopsy revealed that the doctors were wrong. He had only one small tumor still contained within the liver, not a life-threatening stage of cancer. Sam Schumann did not die from liver cancer. He died from believing he was dying of liver cancer. Our beliefs change us mentally, physically, and spiritually. And our beliefs about God do the exact same thing for us. But thankfully, the Bible is so helpful in reorienting you and I toward a healthy view of who God is and his love for us, especially the Psalms. So this is the part where I'd like to invite you to turn to Psalm 136, whether that's in a physical Bible or it's on your phone. You can also just follow along with me on the slides that are behind me. And I ask for your patience as I read this, because I'm going to be saying the same thing over and over and over again. So don't get annoyed with me. Get annoyed with the Bible is basically what I'm saying. Don't actually do that. I don't recommend that. So starting in verse 1, as we read this, the author's theme won't help but stand out to you. So starting from verse 1, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of gods. His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His love endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, his love endures forever. Who by his understanding made the heavens, his love endures forever. Who spread out the earth upon the waters, his love endures forever. Who made the great lights, his love endures forever. The sun to govern the day, his love endures forever. The moon and stars to govern the night, his love endures forever. To him who struck down the firstborn of Egypt, his love endures forever. And brought Israel out from among them, his love endures forever. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought, oh, I think I myself got messed up a little bit. Sorry about that. With a mighty hand and outstretched arm, his love endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea asunder, his love endures forever. And brought Israel through the midst of it, his love endures forever. But swept Pharaoh and his army into the Red Sea, his love endures forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness, his love endures forever. To him who struck down great kings, his love endures forever. And killed mighty kings, his love endures forever. Sion, king of the Amorites, his love endures forever. And Og, king of Bashan, his love endures forever. And gave their land as an inheritance, his love endures forever. An inheritance to his servant Israel, his love endures forever. He remembered us in our low estate, his love endures forever. And freed us from our enemies, his love endures forever. He gives food to every creature, his love endures forever. Give thanks to the God of heaven, his love endures forever. So I remember learning in school that when the teacher said something multiple times, it was probably important for me to be listening to it and writing it down in my notes. So when the Bible tries to make the same point over and over and over again, I think that you and I should probably turn our ears and careful attention to what the author is trying to say. Everywhere in this psalm is the phrase, his love endures forever. So much that it got me looking goofy up here because I lost my spot. Everything looks the same, right? But this point is made at the end of every single verse. The author of our psalm is trying to show us that God's love endures forever. He ties God's enduring love to two different things. First, we can see God's love through his making of the world that you and I live in. And we can see his love based on the way that he has showed up time and time again for his people throughout history. And this love is not the kind of love that you or I might be used to experiencing. It's not a broken love that fails or gives up. This is a perfect love, a love that we're not used to. This love is selfless and self-giving. So starting with our author's first point, how on earth, pun intended, can you see God in the world around you? Well, the Psalms actually have a habit of pointing to the way that God's made the world as proof that he loves you and I. One famous example actually comes from another Psalm, Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4, where it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth. Their words to the ends of the world. God's character can clearly be seen in the beautiful world that he's made for you and I to live in. And his love can also be seen through the way that the world works. What I'm trying to say is that God's nature can be seen in nature. And that becomes more obvious the more you look into these little cool details about how biological life actually works. My friend Tim Jennings actually gives another example in his book that kind of helps you to see everywhere you look God's self-giving love jumping out at you. He says that the oceans give their waters to the clouds, which rain over the land, giving their waters to form the lakes, rivers, and streams, which in turn give their waters to the plants and animals, ultimately giving back to the oceans to start the circle again. The law of love is the circle of giving that is found in all of life. The more that you look around you in the world that God has given us, the more that you can't help but see God's self-giving and selfless love. It's only when the cycle of giving love stops that everything stops working. Look, all this is to say, God's love can literally be seen all around you. Now to our author's second point. That God's love for us can be seen in the way that he has showed up for us time and time again throughout history. And the author of Psalm 136 gives no short list of ways that he's done this. Our songwriter mentions that God delivered them from slavery in Egypt, led them through the Red Sea, and protected them through their wandering in the wilderness. That's all a fancy way of saying that God's love saved his people from oppression. God was also with his people and protected them from violent nations. So often when we read the Bible, we just run right past things like Sion and the Amorites and Og and Bashan. But these are nations that God's people had no hope of being defended from if it weren't for God himself. God's love defeated all of his people's enemies. Nothing could touch his people because he had love for them. God's love for his people went undefeated. See, the amazing thing about God is that even though at the beginning of me speaking, I mentioned that he was invisible, our God is amazing because he's worked in very visible ways. God is a loving father who protected and loved his people. And he is looking at you the same way this morning. So I think all of us know that the Buffalo Bills are God's football team. That's not in the Bible, but the more that you do life with God, the more that that'll be revealed to you, so just be patient. But unfortunately, I won't be talking about them. I have to talk about the Green Bay Packers, which is fine. For those of you who have been to our church before, you've probably heard Casey Cronin give this story, but I think it's very relevant to our text this morning. So travel back to 1961. The Packers had just lost the NFL championship in embarrassing fashion by blowing a late fourth quarter lead. They were ready to get back at it at training camp, take their game to the next level, and finally win a championship. But Coach Lombardi showed up in 1961 in July to training camp with a different idea. He roughly gripped a pigskin, held it up, and said, "Gentlemen, this is a football." And then proceeded to painstakingly describe all of the fundamentals and rules of how to play the game. After that day, Vince Lombardi never had another playoff loss in his coaching career. The point is clear. If your fundamentals are good, you're setting yourself up for success. But if your fundamentals are not in order, not so much. Your view of who God is fundamental. It defines your spiritual life. So I ask you again, what is your view of God this morning? This morning, whatever that view of God is, I'd like to remind you that the same God who delivered his people is on your side, and that this God loves you very deeply. And my hope and prayer for you is that you will come to view God the same way that the author of Psalm 136 does. Now, you guys have probably never been a slave to Egypt, or you probably haven't had to go to war with the Amorites or Bashan, but each one of you has a battle here this morning, something that you're facing. You could be faced with the weight of anxiety or depression or mental illness. You could be dealing with medical issues or pain or a bad diagnosis. You could be feeling the hurt of a broken relationship or grieving the sudden loss of a loved one. Look, it's my belief that God will see you through these things because he is love and his love never fails. Now, it might not be in the way that you want him to or expect him to, but he'll see you through. And I'm confident that one day you are going to echo the words of Psalm 136 in your life by saying, "God was with me at my lowest point. His love endures forever. God was my shepherd through painful medical treatment. His love endures forever. God mended my broken relationships. His love endures forever. God was with me in my mourning. His love endures forever." And guys, if you needed extra assurance of who God is, God being love, I would point you to Jesus himself. Nowadays, we are so blessed to have the extra revelation of who God is through the person of Jesus Christ, the invisible God, became a visible man to show us who and what love is. You and I don't have to guess what God is like anymore. Philip asked Jesus to show him the Father. And Jesus responded in John 14, 9 through 10. He says, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me?" Jesus also shows us what love really looks like. That idea comes from 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Jesus, like the author of our psalm, remembers us in our low estate. That comes from Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Look, we live in a world that has bought into lies about who God is. In 2006, Baylor University took a national survey to evaluate how people viewed God, and they found that only 23% of people viewed him as benevolent or loving. 32% saw the Almighty as authoritarian, 16% as critical, and 24% as distant. 5% claimed to be atheist. I would like to remind you this morning that any view of God that doesn't look like Jesus Christ is a lie. It's wrong, and it's unbiblical. So challenge any view of God that isn't the love that is revealed in Jesus Christ. God is love, and his love never fails. I'd like to invite the worship team up here as I close. My words are always intended for Christians to give them encouragement and guidance in their relationship with God. If you're not a Christian, I would invite you to become one, to be united with the life, death, and resurrection of the love that is found in Jesus Christ. Because if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will surely be united with him in a resurrection like his, not only in this age, but in the age to come. We can experience the fullness of what life offers us through God's Son, Jesus. So I'm inviting you to have the selfish stain of sin removed from your life, to be washed and reborn through the renewal of God's Spirit. I'd like to pray as I close. Father in heaven, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for scriptures like Psalm 136 that clearly show your love to us. We thank you most of all that even though you are invisible, you have worked in very visible ways. We thank you for who you are and that you've revealed exactly who you are through Jesus Christ, your Son. I pray asking you to lay what I have said on the hearts of all that are here this morning, to challenge any view of God that does not glorify you, and any view of God that goes against your selfless and self-giving perfect love. Father, we commit this to you in Jesus' name and by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.